بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading in the book of fasting, كتاب الصيام. كتاب الصيام from the book الفقه الميسر. الفقه الميسر في ضوء الكتاب والسنة. The facilitated fiqh and jurisprudence and understanding in the light of the book and the sunnah, in the light of the evidences found in the Qur'an and in the sunnah. And we continue reading in al-bab al-awwal, the first chapter, which they had mentioned, fi muqaddimati al-siyam, fi muqaddimati al-siyam, wa fihi masail. The first chapter with regards to some introductory affairs related to fasting. So we have taken al-masala al-ula, and that was the definition of fasting and the clarification of its pillars. And likewise, we have taken al-masala al-thaniya, the second issue, and that was with regards to the ruling of fasting the month of Ramadan and the evidence to establish that. And also we have taken al-masala al-thalitha, and that is the types of fasting, And we have seen what they are focused on in this work here is the fast of Ramadan, the fast of Ramadan, and likewise some of the non-obligatory fasts in this particular chapter. As for the other types of fast, then they will come in the chapters that they are connected to and related to. And we continue reading, and it is mentioned now, al-mas'alatu al-rabi'ah, the fourth issue. فَضْلُ سِيَامِ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ والحكمة من مشروعية صومه. فضل صيام شهر رمضان والحكمة من مشروعية صومه. The fourth issue here is the virtue of fasting the month of Ramadan, and the wisdom from the legislation of fasting, and the wisdom from the legislation of fasting. So there are two issues here that will be discussed. The first issue, فضل صيام شهر رمضان, the virtue of fasting the month of Ramadan. And the second issue here, under the fourth affair, وَالْحِكْمَةُ مِنْ مَشْرُوعِيَّةِ صَوْمِهِ, and the wisdom behind the legislation of fasting the month of Ramadan. So here they mention the first issue here under the fourth affair, or al-mas'ala al-rabi'ah, with the first aspect. فضله, its virtue, meaning the virtue of fasting the month of Ramadan. They say, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال. It has been narrated from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وَمَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that whoever stands on the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr, meaning in the prayer, إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, based upon sincere faith and hoping for the reward from Allah alone, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, that which has proceeded from his sins will be forgiven. وَمَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. And whoever fasts the month of Ramadan based on sincere faith and hoping for the reward from Allah alone, إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, that which has proceeded from his sins will be forgiven. And this hadith is متفقٌ عليه. Also they mention and they say, وعنه رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال, and also narrated by Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, الصلوات الخمس والجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن إذا اجتنبت الكبائر. That the five daily prayers, and from one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, and from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, and fasting the month of Ramadan, and to the next fast of Ramadan, these are expiators for that which occurs between them. so long as the major sins are avoided. So long as the major sins are avoided. So we see here that no doubt from the virtue of the fast of Ramadan is that it is a means to expiate the sins. And that is a means for the sins to be pardoned and to be forgiven, and the shortcomings and the errors and the mistakes that an individual has with regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can be pardoned and they can be forgiven. And they will be expiated by the fast of the month of Ramadan. And it is clear here, likewise, what is indicated from the second narration, إِذَا اجْتُنِبَتَ الْكَبَائِرُ, so long as the major sins are avoided. And this expiation of sins and the forgiving and pardoning of the errors and the faults and the actions of disobedience that one has that occurs between these affairs here, between the five daily prayers, or from Jumu'ah to the Jumu'ah, or from Ramadan to the Ramadan, what is intended here are the minor sins. What is expiated are the minor sins. As for the major sins, then that they require sincere tawbah and repentance. That an individual, he would leave those major sins, and he would repent from them, and he would have remorse, and he would have determination not to return to them in this manner. In this manner, the major sins will be forgiven. So what is intended here from the expiation of the sins, from the fast of Ramadan, And other than that, from the righteous deeds, this is the minor sins. This is the minor sins. But no doubt, this is a great virtue. And no doubt, there is not one from the children of Adam except that he has sins and shortcomings and errors, and that he falls short in performing the rites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has clarified this and has been narrated by Anas ibn Malik and radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كل بني آدم خطاء. كل بني آدم خطاء. All of the children of Adam are sinners. خطاء, يعني كثير الخطاء. كثير الذنوب والمعاصي. They have many sins. They make lots of mistakes and errors and fall into disobedience for many aspects. All of the children of Adam are like this. All of the children of Adam are like this. كل بني آدم خطاء. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified the best of those sinners and the best of those who make mistakes and errors and the best of those who have shortcomings, they are those who repent. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, that the best of those who make mistakes and the best of those who sin, they are those who repent. They are those who repent. So therefore, there is not one from the children of Adam except he has sins and he has errors and mistakes, and he's in need for his sins to be removed and for his sins to be pardoned and for his scale to be lightened, and the scale of bad deeds. And from the means of that, clarifying the virtue of this great act of worship, the fast of the month of Ramadan, is that it is a means for expiation, that it is a means for the expiation of the sins. And so they mention here, هذا بعض ما ورد في فضل صيام شهر رمضان وفضائله كثيرة. This is some of that which has come with regards to the virtue of fasting the month of Ramadan. And its virtues are many. And its virtues are many. Meaning there are many virtues in the fast, in fasting the month of Ramadan. There are many virtues. And we can add from them, and which is one of the greatest virtues of the fast of the month of Ramadan, that it is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. That it is a pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam. And in establishing this fast is establishing Al-Islam properly. And that the Islam is established by way of its pillars. And from those mighty and great and beneficial and upright pillars, the pillar of fasting the month of Ramadan. And it has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. This has preceded, alhamdulillah, that the al-Islam is based upon five. And from them, siyam, and from them, sawm, Ramadan, the fasting of the month of Ramadan. So therefore, this is a great indication of the virtue of fasting the month of Ramadan, that it's an obligation. And rather, that it is a pillar from the pillars of al-Islam. That it is a pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam. And likewise, another clarification of the virtue of the fast of the month of Ramadan is that it's an obligation. And the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that are obligatory. And the greatest means to draw near to Allah and gain His love are by fulfilling that which He has made obligatory, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, these are some of the virtues of the fast of the month of Ramadan. The fast of the month of Ramadan. And the greatest of them, and Allah knows best, is that it is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And likewise, that it's an obligation, and the obligations are the obligatory affairs, they are the most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise here, as they have mentioned, fasting the month of Ramadan is a means for expiating the sins. After this, they mention the second issue here under Al-Mas'ala Arabiya, Al-Hikmatu min Mashru'iyyati Sawmihi, the wisdom behind the legislation of fasting the month of Ramadan. The wisdom behind the legislation of fasting the month of Ramadan. So they say, شَرَعَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ الصَّوْمَ لِحِكَمٍ عَدِيدَةٍ وَفَوَائِدَ كَثِيرَةٍ فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has legislated fasting for numerous wisdoms and many benefits from them. And from those wisdoms, the first issue they mentioned, تَسْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ وَتَطْهِيرُهَا وَتَنْقِيَتُهَا مِنَ الْأَخْلَاطِ الرَّدِيئَةِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ الرَّذِيلَةِ لِأَنَّ السَّوْمَ يُضَيِّقُ مَجَارِيَ الشَّيْطَانِ فِي بَدْنِ الْإِنسَانِ The first benefit or wisdom behind the legislation of fasting they mention, purify the soul and to cleanse it, and to clean it from those lowly and foul affairs that are mixed inside the soul. Those lowly and foul issues that could come to the soul and corrupt it from the love of the worldly life and the preference of the dunya, and having foul intentions and the likes like this, and having foul manners also, what akhlaq radhila, that it's a means to purify and to clean the foul affairs from shirk and from ria and from all of the foul lusts and loves and preferences that the soul desires, and to purify the soul from this issue and from these affairs, and also to purify the manners from the lowly manners. And they mention the أَنَّ السَّوْمَ يُضَيِّقُ مَجَارِيَ الشَّيْطَانِ, because the fasting, it restricts the pathways of shaitan فِي بَدَنِي الْإِنسَانِ, in the body of a human being. Then it restricts the pathways of shaitan in the body of the human being. Meaning, so by way of refraining from the desires and from weaning oneself off from the affairs that one is accustomed to, and the likes like this, in this manner the heart can become pure and the soul can become rectified. And the one who does it sincerely for the sake of Allah. And fasting is one of those affairs that many times the people, they do not show off with regards to. And this is something that in reality only Allah truly knows if a person is fasting. Because a person could make it apparent that he's fasting, and he could go somewhere by himself and take a drink of water, or of that which he likes. Or he could go somewhere where no one is looking, and he's from the people, and he could take a bite of some food, and the likes like this, and nobody would know. And then come and then break his fast with the people as if he's fasting. But nobody really knows if he's fasting except for him and Allah. So therefore, the one who truly fasts, then he's doing it for the sake of Allah alone. And this is piety, and this is righteousness, and this is the wisdom behind the legislation of the fasting, as they have mentioned here. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise, He has clarified in His book. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been prescribed, meaning made incumbent and obligatory, mandatory upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, just as it was prescribed and made obligatory upon those before you. And the wisdom behind that, Allah closes this verse and He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, la'allakum tattaqun, so that you can obtain piety, so that you can be righteous, meaning so that you can have sincere faith and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with true light and iman, hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the wisdom behind that. And the one who does that, and he sincerely, by worshipping Allah in this manner, properly and correctly according to the sunnah, with sincerity and ikhlas and purity of intention, hoping for the reward from Allah alone, and fearing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His anger, the one who worships Allah like this, and he performs his fast like this, then his soul will become pure, and his soul will become rectified. And likewise, the one who checks himself, and he works hard to avoid anything that would corrupt his fast, meaning to ruin it entirely, or to cause it to become deficient, or to lessen or weaken the reward. The one who strives hard to fast in the best manner, then this is from the greatest means of purifying his soul and purifying likewise his manners. So before he would act in a manner that is not befitting with his tongue or in his actions, he would check himself. And in doing this, and he checking himself because he is afraid that he would anger his Lord, or he would lessen his reward with his Lord, the reward that he's hoping for, iman and wahtisaban, fasting based upon sincere faith and hoping for the reward. This is from the greatest means. This right here, this is called a taqwa. This is piety and righteousness. And this is from the greatest means to rectify and to purify and to cleanse the soul. And likewise, to rectify and to purify the manners and the etiquettes that a person, he will act accordingly. And meaning according to that which is pleasing to Allah. And he will check himself and he will refrain himself. And he will force himself to act in a manner that is pleasing to Allah. And he will avoid every statement and action that is displeasing or disliked by his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great, great benefit and a great, great wisdom behind the great wisdom behind the legislation of fasting. And this is what a believer is hoping for. This is why he's fasting. He wants to obtain piety. He wants to be righteous. He wants to be close to Allah. He wants to have the pleasure of Allah. He's hoping for the reward from Allah. He's fasting only for this reason, because he believes in Allah, and he believes in his lordship and his authority and his command, and he believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Rabbul Alameen, and he believes in the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows that his Lord is worthy of worship, and he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed books, and that he has sent a legislation, and he has closed those books and finalized that legislation with the seal of prophets, and finalized the legislation with the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their commandments and prohibitions that he abides by. And this is what he's striving to be able to do, so that he can live upon that way, because he believes in the promise of Allah. The one who lives upon that way properly and correctly, then he has honor and nobility at the time of death, and likewise in his grave he has delight and joy, and also in the hereafter he has the promise of paradise and Jannah, and he has the promise to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the high ranks in paradise. So he's hoping for this, and this is what he wants to be upon, and this is what he's striving to be upon and to apply, and this is his life, and this is the way of a believer. So this is why he's fasting, and this is what he hopes to achieve. And he will avoid everything that would deter him from his goal. So this is the way of a believer, and this is why one is fasting. So we see the first wisdom behind fasting, and the first benefit is that it's a means for purification of the soul. تَسْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ وَتَطْهِيرُهَا وَتَنْقِيَتُهَا مِنَ الْأَخْلَاطِ الرَّدِيئَةِ, to purify the soul and to clean it. And to cleanse it from the filthy and the lowly things that can become mixed in the soul, the corruption of the soul. The soul can become corrupted with foul intentions, with foul manners, with foul actions of disobedience, with the love of the dunya and the preference of the worldly life over the hereafter, and showing preference to the desire and the command of the soul over the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of these things, the soul becomes mixed with these affairs, and it has to be cleansed and purified, and they have to be removed. From the means of doing that is fasting for the sake of Allah, fasting the month of Ramadan, and Allah, out of His wisdom and mercy for His slaves, He has legislated for them this fast in order for them to purify themselves and their souls, so they can meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala bi'idnihi, while He is pleased with them. And also wal akhlaq radhila, and also to cure, to cleanse them and purify them from those lowly and foul manners. They mentioned the second wisdom or hikmah, athaniya, or faida athaniya. في الصوم تزهيد في الدنيا وشهواتها وترغيب في الآخرة ونعيمها. And likewise, in fasting, there is something that encourages a person to abstain from the dunya and the desires and the lust of the dunya. Because while one is fasting, all those things that are even normally permissible, they're normally permissible for him from the affairs of the dunya that his Lord has allowed him, that has allowed for him to partake in and to enjoy. They have become impermissible for this period in the daytime in the month of Ramadan. And this is a means to make the soul accustomed to leaving off these affairs and to showing preference to the command of Allah and that which is beloved to Allah and pleasing to Allah over that which the heart commands and likes and over that which the soul desires in this manner. And this is a great, great benefit. And likewise, it's a means to encourage a person to strive for the hereafter, to have hopes and to desire for the delight in the hereafter, to show preference for the delight that is never ending over the delight that is going away, because the delight of this life is going away, and it does not last for anybody. It does not last for anybody. Rather, everything in this life, it will go away. It will go away. وَكُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ. Everything in this world, everything in this life, it will go away. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So many times the hearts, they become attached to the dunya. Many times the hearts, they become attached to the dunya. And the love of the dunya can overcome a person. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And even sometimes a person can become overcome by the dunya so much that he will do actions of worship. And he will do them sincerely for Allah alone. And he will do them according to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam properly. But he does not want from those deeds the hereafter. Rather, he is just hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him some affairs of the dunya. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So by fasting the month of Ramadan, a believer, he's able to remind himself of the hereafter and the delight of the hereafter, and to strive to show preference to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the love and the command of the desires, and to give preference to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which he has ordained and that which he has ordered and that which he has legislated, and to correct the soul and to check the soul and to leave off the preference of this life, and to show preference to the hereafter, and to show preference to the hereafter. The third hikmah and benefit from fasting they mention, as-sawmu yab'athu 'ala al-athfi 'ala al-masakin wash-shu'ur bi'alamihim li'anna as-sa'ima yadhuqu 'alam al-ju'i wal-'atsh. That also from the wisdoms behind fasting and the benefits of fasting likewise is that it will cause a person to have compassion for the weak and to show mercy to them and have concern for them and their affair. And he will be able to comprehend and understand some of the issues and pains that they go through and hardships that they face and difficulties that occur with those who are impoverished and those people who are in poverty and have no wealth. And this is because whenever a person is fasting, then at this time he tastes the reality of hunger and likewise of thirst. This is something that many of the people, they do not taste, and they do not realize the reality and the pains and the hardships of hunger and the hardships of thirst. And this is a reality that there are individuals in life that have been tried by poverty, and they have been tried by this affair, and it is difficult for them, and they face these affairs on a daily basis. They feel hunger and the pains of hunger regularly, or thirst and the likes like this. And this is something that many of the people are unaware of. But by fasting, even a wealthy individual at this time, he will realize this. And then this will be a means for him to show compassion to the weak, and to show compassion to the destitute and to the poor, and to show concern for them, and to be a means after that to aid them and to help them by feeling this pain and this hardship of fasting and being thirsty in this manner like this. Then after Ramadan, a believer, he will see the poor people, and he will have compassion for them and have pity for them and mercy for them. And bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, those who are wealthy, there should be a means to aid them and help them with their wealth, and to remove that hunger from them and the thirst for them as much as they can. And if by helping the Muslims who are needy, after having this reality, yani the reality of tasting hunger and thirst, is something that will wake up the people to the reality of the poor and the destitute. So they mention here, وَإِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْحِكَمِ الْبَلِيغَةِ وَالْفَوَائِدِ الْعَدِيدَةِ. And other than that, from the great wisdoms, and other than that, from the great wisdoms and the numerous benefits of fasting, and the numerous benefits of fasting. And with that, we close. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.